beloved. How much do you hear that word around anymore? Beloved or beloved. I was thinking about Don and Joanne Kalman. They were so beloved together as they worshiped together, as he looked out for her when her health started failing. She passed away this week. They were a beloved couple. You have beloveds, I hope. Or maybe you are someone's beloved. This is the word that God used. And it was repeated in all of the Gospels when you hear the story of Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved son. Now I want you to think about that for a minute, because we've all grown up, if you grew up as a Christian or not as a Christian, or as a Lutheran or not as a Lutheran, we've all grown up with baggage about who Jesus is and what Jesus thinks about us and what God thinks about us. And you know, to hear some preachers, beloved isn't the word that you think of. You know, you think of God as angry, and God sent his word to his son to save us from our sins. And so he put him to death because God does just, he's so beloved. And it doesn't make sense. And I wrestled with that for many years, even as a child and as a confirmation student. Is Jesus really beloved of God? But that's the word God chose. Beloved. And it shows up in a few other places. But beloved is just a word that you want to embrace, to hold on to. If you've ever been someone's beloved, it's a wonderful word. It's a word that connotes safety, like a warm blanket. Beloved. Precious is probably the closest word to beloved. So why did God send God's beloved? To show us the way. It's not in Matthew's gospel, but it's in the others. This is my beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him. The only other place in the gospels where the word beloved shows up is when they're trying to tell a parable about a vineyard owner who comes to collect rent from his tenants. And first he sends his servants, and they beat them up. And he sends his slaves, and they beat them up. And then he says to himself, I will send my son, because surely they will listen to him. Do you see that connection? And if you know the stories, you know that they killed the son. It's not a pretty parable. But God sent his beloved son to the world. We're still close enough to Christmas that I want to read a little bit from John's Christmas story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So the gospel writer John is setting up John the Baptist and John and Jesus meeting. And the very next verse says, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. The beloved. All God asks is listen to him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. You know the rest of the story. He healed, he released, he set free, and he was crucified. Not because he was not God's most beloved son, his only begotten son, but because he came to what was his own and his own people did not accept him. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. But, John continues, but to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God. We get to be beloved children of God too. And through the waters of baptism, we are named and chosen and claimed by God to participate in that good news. It's ironic, you know, that the good news of Jesus is not the same as the good news that the world thinks it is. The good news of Jesus is freeing. It's unburdening. It's forgiving. It's grace. How many of you have I talked to didn't know about grace for many, many years? And once the grace of God was revealed to you, it changed your life. Because in that moment, when you realized that the grace of God was for you, and it was a free gift, and you didn't do anything to earn it, you were set free. And all of a sudden, God looks different. A gracious God looks different than an angry God. A loving God looks different than a vengeful God. And once you see that for yourself, because you too, brothers and sisters, are beloved, once you see that for yourself, you can't hold it to yourself. It's like a river flowing through you. It's part of you that you have to share. Not by compulsion or guilt, but because it is such good news that it cannot be contained. The good news at the Jordan was that Jesus was baptized. He didn't cross the Jordan. There was no dry land in front of him the river was not blocked. He was washed in it and set free for ministry. You see, Jesus didn't get baptized for his sins to be forgiven. Jesus was washed in the river, anointed for God's ministries, as you have been as well. You belong to God. You are a beloved child of the Almighty. That's the best news I can possibly give you today. And I know many of you are grieving, and many of you are stressed beyond stress, and many of you are worried about lots of things. You are not alone. You are beloved. Hold on to that. It will sustain you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.